America, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Patrick Mifflin and Chris Elogi. Say hi, guys.
Oh, what a day.
Hello.
This is the best day.
It was the best week, honestly. Yeah.
No, not for me, but I'll take today
as a prize. It was just like everything. It's like the stars aligned and, you know, the gods on Olympus were ready to throw us a mulligan, finally, after four years of bullshit. And we'll tell you why. Because, just so many things happened this week. Just so many, many wondrous things. Things that they will be writing in the history books about. Hopefully, because one of the subjects will soon be history. Also, of course, it's not just that. We've also got some entertainment news as well. Netflix is going to be making a Conan the Barbarian series. Miss Marvel is going to be having a show on Disney Plus, and by Miss Marvel, I mean Kamala Khan, probably the best Marvel character right now. Just a bunch of stuff happening this week, and finally coming up us, you know? But, so, anyway, before we get started with the awesomeness and the not-so-awesomeness, for this episode of October 2nd, 2020, yes, the first show of the month, I forgot about that. Yeah, we're, finally, we have basically avoided asshole summer this year. Somehow. I mean, he showed up for like a little bit when the temperature shot up to the mid-80s for like a day, and then he disappeared. Because I guess even asshole summer isn't taking this bullshit. Before we get started, Pat, tell us what you've been up to this week.
Oh, I've just been putting more stuff together for Gamers Without Borders. We still don't have our full cast for the show, but I'm definitely going to be leaning my site content in that direction heavily as well. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of been, you know, working toward that end. Mm-hmm. And I've just been, you know, getting more stuff established on this Alienware and going down that rabbit hole of library preservation, and it's just amazing how this investment I wasn't really planning on making is, well, first of all, it's kind of a silver lining for the utter shit that the two upcoming launches appear to represent. And it also like symbolizes a very strong console launch in its own right, if I were to treat it as one, because there was a wave of new games that came out on the PC right around the time that I got this, and they're kind of serving as a launch lineup for the console that I wish that I wish Sega was putting out consoles. They'd be doing way better than this embarrassment, but that Sony and Microsoft are putting forth. So that's actually something I'm going to be writing about here shortly. So that's been pretty much it for me, though.
All right, Chris, what about you?
So The Good Place is finally out on Netflix. The last season 4. Managed to get through that and really enjoyed it. Ends really nicely. You definitely tell that they were kind of had an end game for the show, and whenever they got the notice from the people at, I think it's ABC, whoever was running the show, they knew, like, okay, this is where we're gonna go. So they did. They wrapped it up really nicely, in a good place, and it's a fun show. People should check it out. Now I just need to do like a full rewatch of the whole thing instead of having bits broken up by just whenever they got them up on the Netflix.
Yeah.
The other thing I got this week, I got the full series, set for Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
A show I hadn't really seen in quite a while since it was on Adult Swim. About halfway through it and enjoying it a lot. There's a couple episodes I'm not really a big fan of. Some stuff that delves into Spike's past with Vicious. Kind of just doesn't really do too much for me. But most everything else does. Especially kind of realizing, like, yeah, these guys are the worst bounty hunters out there. They cannot get a single one.
No, they just have a ringer, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... it makes for
otherwise they'd be fucked.
Funny episodes where they work really hard to get this person and just falls out of the grasp at the last second. And the only thing they really get out of it is a couple of crewmates with Faye, Ayn, and Ed who come in sort of slowly. More slowly than I thought. But yeah, it's a still a fun show. The big issue I have with this set is no subtitles for the English dub at all. It feels like they are kind of baked into the for the audio. So if I probably set it to Japanese, I'll get English subtitles, but it's only for the Japanese dub. Yeah, it's just continues the that issue that's frequent in many anime, especially the older ones. But otherwise, it's still a good show that holds up pretty well. As for games, I picked
it's all
up
about Crash Mushroom Samba.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that episode yet. but yeah, I picked up Crash Bandicoot 4 that's out today. I've been playing some of that, and it's been pretty good so far. They do have some good options there for some accessibility stuff. Or even just up front, it asks you, do you want a classic or modern style live system? So if you want to have the lives and all that from the original games, you can do that. If you want to just be modern where it's infinite lives, and it just counts how many you get, because when you beat the stage, it's like, oh, here's the range of goals that they had for it. Just like, you know, get this many fruit. I think it's 3 for that, 1 for getting all the boxes, 1 for getting the hidden gem, and 1 for beating it under a certain amount of lives, which so far I've not done yet. The second stage particularly, I spent like good 40 some lives on that. Because I found a little hint for like a puzzle thing, and I just couldn't figure it out, and just dying constantly as it starts to introduce the dimensional concept of like platforms blinking in and out of existence, which many of them had boxes on them. So it's like, okay, I had to figure out a good path to get them all for that without dying, and it took me like 20 some lives there for that. So yeah, it's definitely got a lot of challenge to it, even with the infinite lives there, and depends on just how much you want to, bump your head into the wall there on that stuff. But yeah, once you beat it, you can open up like a speedrun mode that, doesn't really do the speedrun the way you might think. It's more that, some of the block, boxes have a number on them. That's how long it'll freeze the timer. So you're trying to beat it under a certain time, as well as taking out these boxes that will freeze it even further, help you keep it lower. So there's a lot of good replayability, even before I get to a lot of the stuff that they've shown off in the past couple of months for extra stuff to do. So yeah, it seems like they have done a great job bringing that game out into a modern sense, but from the perspective of the original 3 games, versus like what some of the stuff they were doing on 360 and PS3, which are more like open areas and all that kind of stuff, like a natural 3D platformer or is the one that kind of plays around perspective constantly. And also I've been playing Super Mario Brothers 35, which is out now on Switch, which is kind of the Mario Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very weird game. you are playing like Mario stages, like seems like the actual stages. I'm not sure if they made any changes to them for the purpose of the Battle Royale, but you can get the 1-2 and go up on the top at the end and warp to another stage from there if you want. Though it's not, I don't think it's going to like 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. I think it just lets you go to 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, unless I was misreading what that was saying. But you can also matchmake into games that start on different stages too, instead of just 1-1. As well as, there are different like power-up things you can do. So if, as you collect coins, you get the ability to activate like a power-up thing, which you can have it, you can pick specific ones. You can just hit surprise me and it'll pick one of the five. But the base one will just give you a random power-up, for 20 coins, but you could be like Big Mario and get another mushroom, which is useless to you, that kind of thing. Or you could get, the star, or the fire mushroom, or a POW block that just takes out all the enemies on the screen right now at that point, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it does a lot of cool stuff, and especially as you kill enemies, it sends them over to other screens. So I'm curious to see like what the screen looks like if you're just like to not play at the start, just not move, which I think is it would just start flooding tons of enemies into your screen as you start scrolling. Which I've seen a little bit of that stuff in like 1-2, which can be definitely distressing in some of the tighter areas. But yeah, I haven't won it so far, but it doesn't seem as potentially hard as Tetris 99, but also I haven't played enough to say that definitively yet, so who knows? It could be very difficult, especially as you get to playing against people that know what the fuck they're doing. You can get out of a 1-2 consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's kind of where it's going. And they give you dailies. Just give you added coins, which I guess are like the XP for this game. I don't think you can spend any of them yet. It doesn't seem like you can, but yeah, as you level up, you get more like avatars you can spend, or you can use, which is different characters and items in the game. That kind of stuff. But yeah, some of them are tough, like, hey, beat 50 stages. Which, you know, I can maybe do 2 on a good run. That kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah,
it's a lot tougher than it looks, but it's maybe a lot more manageable if you get like a good fire flower run. Taking a bunch of enemies that way. Yeah, so far that one's been a good surprise. And just playing more Rocket League as we go here. I got the event going on. Been got all my stuff there. Just matter just keep playing, getting the bonuses out of that, and just working my way through the Rocket Pass for this week. Yeah, I've been doing pretty well so far in the multiplayer stuff, which I think is more attributable to a flux of fresh talent into the game versus just getting matched with the same people who've been playing for years alongside me. So yeah, that's been pretty much it. And it's actually been kind of freezing here. Yesterday it was in the 40s for a good bit as we had cold and rain and wind going. So definitely can see that winter is not too far away, unfortunately, but hopefully on a daily basis it keeps it away a bit more. Instead of just straight up going into that, but we're in like the 50s as a high for the next few days, so it's going to be a bit there. Especially when it's going to be time to go into full pants mode.
Yep.
But that's it. How about you, Brandon?
All right, well, first and foremost, yes, I am still playing 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. And once again, I will say it, play it if you can get a hold of it. It is fucking amazing. One of the best sci-fi games I've ever played, ever. And God, it just keeps reminding me how amazing George Kamitani's art direction is, because even though this game is like mostly in 2D, it's just so gorgeous you don't really care. It's like, really, it is. It's just so good. And yeah, let's see. Other than that, still playing Disgaea 5 as well. I am just about finished with it. You know, it's Disgaea. It's a good Disgaea game. You know what Disgaea is. It justifies itself.
Yeah, no one should need it explained to them at this point.
No. If you're going to play a Disgaea game, you know what you're in for. There's going to be a bunch of hardcore strategy. There's going to be dark-ass humor that I fucking love. The character designer is going to be horny on main. And there's probably going to be one or two moments that'll make you cry. That's a Disgaea game. Other than that, I've been watching more anime. Specifically, I have been watching two particular ones. I've been using my Netflix subscription, and I've been watching a little anime called Dorohedoro, which, if you have not seen, there is nothing I can say that could possibly just at all in any way qualify to describing how fucking batshit crazy it is. Basically, there's a bunch of people who live in like a sewer environment. The hero is this dude who has a lizard head. There's a bunch of sorcerers going around killing people to get their blood to use as magic. It's gory as all fuck, and yet also has a lot of slapstick humor. It's just, you gotta watch it yourself to really just really understand the hype, because it's fucking insane. And other one, an old school Gainax anime. Actually, an anime they made before they even were called Gainax.
Really?
Oh yeah. It was after Wings of Hanamize, but before Evangelion. It's Gunbuster.
Oh.
Which is a fucking classic.
I did not know that was pre-Gainax Gainax.
Yeah, that's pre-Gainax Gainax. I don't think they really started using the Gainax name in earnest until after this particular OVA series came out. Because it's the OVA that made them famous. Because, you know, like, Wings of Onimiza is a great movie, but it basically flopped at the box office. And it's basically this project that saved the studio, more or less. And if you've never seen Gunbuster, some people sometimes call it, like, the Evangelion prototype. And that kind of is accurate, but it's kind of not. It's because, like, tonally, it's very different. It's, you know, like, it's still got, like, the heavy shit and everything, but it starts off, at least in the beginning, as a very sort of cliche type of sort of school anime. Like, people have compared it to the classic tennis manga Aim for the Ace, which is not really a terrible label, really, because at least for the first couple of episodes, it is kind of like that. But once they actually get out into space, it completely changes shit, because Gunbuster is probably the first anime I ever encountered where they actually make the nature of time dilation from space travel as like an actual plot point. Yeah, because there's like a episode where, you know, after they go off to the space station, you know, getting ready to start the, you know, for their, because, you know, they've already gone through their training for their mech suits, which apparently are really complicated to operate. And then they decide to go back to visit their old school, and like everybody that's there has already aged like 40 years. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Also, there's a character that in there that's named Smith Torrin. He's because he's named after Torrin Smith, which if you're an old school American manga fan, you know who Torrin Smith is. He was one of the early manga translators back in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, he basically worked in the building right across from the guy from the Gainax people. So, yeah, it's and yeah, just as with what happened with Gainax, what happened with Evangelion? Yeah, they totally fucking ran out of money by the time the last episode was being made.
Damn it!
Yeah, so they
was
ended up
full this time.
Yeah, this time what they ended up doing is well, they basically did what they ended up doing with Evangelion, which is they just took advantage of the fact that, all right, so we're fucking broke and we can't do as good as we did last time, but we can
bring on existential hell.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, a big, so like, for example, the big climactic battle that happens, like in, is literally done in a series of pencil drawings. And not like stick figure shit, like really good stuff, but it all flashes by really fast. And also, most of that episode is also in black and white because it's meant to also sort of be a reference to that old war movie, The Battle of Okinawa.
Mm.
In fact, it even ends with like a tally of wins and losses at the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking weird. It's a great anime, but goddamn, is it weird. But yeah, so that's about it for me. We got anything else we want to add before we move on? Anything? Anything at all?
I'm good.
Okay, so with that, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And you know what? I decided that I was going to go a little, not necessarily short today, but mostly because, well, as you see, there's some things we want to get to as quick as we can just so we can enjoy them. I thought we would very briefly talk about a game that never made it over here in the U.S., but it's still very important. Because it happens to be a more or less canonical entry in the most, arguably the most successful and popular video game franchise of all time. And that, of course, is Super Mario 2. Not the one you got here in the U.S., the original one.
The real one.
The real one. The one that is 100% bullshit. Okay, so let me sort of set the stage for you. So, the first Super Mario Brothers came out in, what was it, like 1986? 85, yeah. 1985 on the Famicom. It was a huge fucking hit. You know, it did really well. You know, it was riding on the back of that Donkey Kong energy. And, huge success. Eventually, it made its way over here. And, you know, it became a fucking cultural phenomenon. And Nintendo was willing to basically sell out more than anyone else. So you ended up getting the cartoon, the breakfast cereal,
McDonald's toys. I had those.
Oh, yeah. That plushie doll, which I still have. Though I'm missing the hat. You know, just all that stuff.
The lunchbox.
The lunchbox. I had the lunchbox.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, just basically fucking everything. It was awesome. It was an awesome time. And so obviously you're thinking, all right, well, we got to keep this money train going, so we need to make a sequel, right? Well, keep in mind, this is still kind of in the early days of what a video game is supposed to be. You know, nowadays, most of the time, we expect games to be not necessarily radically different from the first game, from like the first game, but a game that is progressed in a manner, you know, graphically, play wise, yeah, that it has something to make it distinct from its predecessor, which is basically my way of saying they didn't do shit in Mario 2. Okay. I will say this. There are three things that they added to Mario 2 that are not in the first Mario game. All right? The first was graphically. They did sort of update the graphics a little bit. The bricks are a little bit grittier.
There's some new tiles. Yeah.
You know, the trees are a little tree-ier. Those living clouds in the sky are slightly more nightmare-inducing. So that's one. Second is the one thing that probably made more gamers than anything else just throw their controller at the screen and go, say, fuck you, Miyamoto. The poison mushroom. Which kills you if you try to pick it up. Now keep in mind, up to this point, you know, Mario is still a new thing. This concept is still a new thing. And up to this point, people who played Mario knew, okay, so if this thing comes out and it's not an enemy, if I pick it up, it'll either make me grow big or shoot fireballs or make me invincible for a time. Oh, look at this funny colored mushroom. I wonder what it does. Fuck.
And because of the, shall we say, unreliable color palette when it comes to one-up mushrooms, it was very difficult to tell which one you were getting.
Now, what was the third thing that they added?
Luigi.
Well, no.
So there were four things, because Luigi is a thing.
Yeah, okay,
like,
yeah.
Discernible.
They did technically add Luigi into this one. But, no, the fourth thing that they added is this bullshit wind mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
In certain part levels, you will have to deal with a wind gust effect that can either help you or hinder you, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to, if you've got like a big gaping maw of a pit in front of you, if it's blowing in the right direction, you can basically fly over it. And it's also, let's be honest, it's kind of a leap of faith because you ain't getting that shit the first time.
No.
No. It is such bullshit. Of course, that's not the only bullshit they also added, and this really isn't technically like a new feature, it's just a giant middle finger to the player. Everybody remembers the warp zones from the original Super Mario. These warp zones were like kind of a pretty big deal because they were like one of the first examples of like a secret that you could find in a video game that wasn't just like some hidden Easter egg. It could actually help you. And, you know, depending on, you know, where you went, you could go maybe up to another three worlds ahead if you wanted to. You can still technically do that in Mario 2, but there's also a chance
you might not want what you get when you get what you want.
Yeah, because if you're not careful, you'll just end up falling down into a room with a single pipe that takes you all the way back to the first level.
To this day, I wonder what the ranking is between number of kids given trust issues by oatmeal raisin cookies or number of kids being given trust issues by Mario 2.
Yeah. Well, Mario 2 never actually made it over here until the
All-Stars.
The All-Star Collection for SNES.
Okay.
Wherein they went back and graphically updated all the old Mario games. And for the first time, you could play Super Mario 2, only in this case, they called it the Lost Levels. Which I remember playing for the first time. And the very first thing I see is, instead of a Goomba, a fucking Buzzy Beetle. And I'm like, fuck you, Miyamoto.
Shit just got real.
Yeah. Oh, what's this mushroom that has like purple head and like weird, angry, slanty eye? Oh, it just killed me. Double fuck you, Miyamoto.
You know, we've seen weirder one-ups.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, so this all sounds fucking weird, but okay, so what? Why did we get a different Mario game? What was this game that we got over here that's called Super Mario Brothers 2?
Something we probably would have gotten regardless in some form or another.
Yeah, so what you need to know about Super Mario Brothers 2 is that the original Super Mario Brothers 2, the game that you got, is actually a palette swap of another game. an advertising game called Yumi Kojo Doki Doki Panic, which was itself meant to promote the Fuji Television's Yume Kojo 87 event.
And ended up turning up, taking on a life of its own when it sort of officially, unofficially joined the Mario series.
Yeah, basically, like, a bunch of the elements in that game, like the Shy Guys, who's the thing with the bow that spits the eggs?
Birdo.
Yeah. Just all that stuff. Yeah, that's that ended up sort of just getting grandfathered into the Mario universe, more or less. And of course, like, for all of the various things that they ended up changing around for, like, what was supposed to be, like, you know, like all the palette swaps and stuff for various things. Like, for example, that big giant, like, crow's head that you have to walk in at the end of the level?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was originally this weird, like, sort of kabuki mask thing. It still had that weird, like, stretchy mouth thing going. You remember the block mushrooms? Yeah, those were originally clown heads. No joke.
That's getting a little more bizarre.
Oh, it's about to get even worse. Okay, so the one, like, recognizable item that you could pick up out of the ground from Super Mario 2 was, of course, the turtle shell, right?
Okay.
Because it's Koopa shell, right? We all know that shit. It's Koopa shell. It's what you do when you jump on a Koopa. You got a Koopa shell. You kick it or you throw it. It's Koopa shell. You know what it originally was in Doki Doki Panic?
Hmm.
Yeah. For those of you who can't see that, that is a blackface caricature. Because fucking Japan.
Well.
Yeah. So obviously Super Mario 2 didn't really take off as much as they wanted. We ended up getting this, ended up becoming huge. They actually ended up making a Japanese version of the Super Mario 2 we got over here. They called it Super Mario, USA. Yeah. And it proved to be popular.
Clearly made a hell of a lot more sense than the original.
Yeah. And so, because of that, all of those aspects that originated in what started out in the second Mario game, which was originally just Yumi Kojo Doki Doki Painted, all the ones you know, Shy Guys, the weird bird thing with the mask, that freak, and speaking of masks, that fucking terrifying mask that just has an absolute death wish, just a blood rage hatred for you.
Phantom.
When you tried, yeah. All that stuff was originally here, and I just cannot get that fucking blackface picking anything out of my mind. God damn it, Japan. Why? And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Rant of Factoid. Just, God damn it, Japan. Why? All right. With that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we have to talk about, as we start off with, the assholes of the week. And, of course, you know who are main asshole of the week is going to be. Because we all watched, or at least as much as we could stand, that fucking quote-unquote debate that happened this week.
In which, for one glorious moment, Joe Biden was all of us.
Yeah, he's like, can you just shut up, man? They're all, by the way, the Biden campaign has already made t-shirts with that on it. And
sold out of them.
Sold out of them within like a day. Because apparently we're all, everyone else.
Because Joe Biden was all of us in that one glorious moment.
Yeah. But amongst the awful shit that happened during that, Chris Wallace, who was, for better or worse, trying to be the moderator of this shit show.
He kind of got doormatted, didn't he?
Yeah. Because he was making the mistake of thinking this was going to be a normal debate, but at this point, Trump is so far gone that he just doesn't give a shit anymore. And so, you know, he's just, rules just don't apply to him, apparently. Well, Chris Wallace decided to throw a softball question at Donald Trump. He said, he asked him, do you condemn white supremacy? He says, will you say...
That should be the easiest answer ever given to any question ever.
And at first, it seemed like maybe he would do it, because you can hear him in the background saying, sure, sure. Like, okay. And then...
hear Biden say, then do it.
Yeah, it's like that moment where, like, you're like at the basketball court and you just shot for the rim, and like the ball is like doing that weird thing where it's like bouncing on the rim and it can just go either way. You know, it's like this should be easy. Like, this thing should go in. You have basically, everybody has cleared the path for you. Now all you have to do is walk it. And somehow he still fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he was like, oh, okay, what do you want me to call them? You want me to call it? What was the word? I was like, dude, just fucking say it. Like, just say the term. Say the word. Say it in that order. I condemn white supremacy. It's not that hard. But apparently it is for him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, what he ended up saying was, Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what.
Which is stochastic terrorism.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he continued, but I'll tell you what, somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left. This is not a right-wing problem. This is a left-wing problem.
Yeah. Deflection.
To the point where even Biden had to say, Antifa is an idea, not an organization, not malicious.
Yeah. It's just... And, you know, just of all the shit show that happened, apparently that's a fairly universal view for most people, that this was an awful shit show all the way.
Yeah.
Most people were annoyed by it. And then, you know, you have to ask, like, okay, so then who technically won the debate? And it's like, yeah, Biden did, but to be honest, he kind of didn't really have to do anything. Trump fucked it up all by himself.
Yep.
Just by being himself.
Yeah.
And
then gave him a new slogan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, hey. Good job.
But that's not all that we found out this week. We found out this week that from some documents that were leaked or something, that one of the campaign strategies they had back in 2016 was a Facebook ad blitz that would encourage millions of African Americans to not vote.
Yep.
But keep in mind, these groups have been, this is something that the Republican Party has been doing for quite a few years now. These sort of disinformation campaigns targeted at minority communities.
Yeah. They had obtained a vast cache of data used by Trump's 2016 campaign. Oh. Almost 200 million American voters, and had 3.5 million Black Americans categorized as deterrents, whereas they wanted to stay home on election day.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come up with ads specifically designed around that. More than 5,000 files. Amassed almost 5 terabytes of data.
Mm-hmm.
Had these millions of Americans separated by an algorithm into 1 of 8 categories in 16 battleground states. Also describes audiences so they could be targeted with tailored ads on Facebook and other platforms. Deterrence was one of them. Publicly described by Trump's chief data scientist as containing people that the campaign quote, hope don't show up to vote. Even in Georgia, despite Black people constituting 32% of the population, they made up 61% of the deterrence category. North Carolina, Black people are 22% of the population, but were 46% of deterrence. Wisconsin, where they're just 5.4% of the population, but were 17% of that category. So, yeah. A lot of the stuff that, I guess they called their digital campaign Project Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that involved Cambridge Analytica. All that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's somehow that This is like, it's not even that I'm just mad. It's just like, duh.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they basically still did this. They just went about it in different ways.
Yeah.
Goddamn. And now we got to go up to Canada to remind everybody that, yes, the Indigenous people of Canada are still getting fucked over with a raw deal because an Indigenous woman in Canada actually managed to broadcast the insult she was getting from her doctors as she was lying on her deathbed. And she did this through Facebook Live.
Yep. This was in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
She clicked her phone on, broadcast a Facebook Live video appearing to show her being insulted and sworn at by hospital staff. She has 7 kids. They're doing a coroner's inquiry as well as an administrative probe.
Mm.
A nurse that was involved in her treatment has already been dismissed. Her husband is the one they talked to here for the story. Talking about how she went into the hospital with stomach ache, and 2 days later she died.
Yep. 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 Fucking hell.
And just more examples of how this kind of stuff still happens in Canada, just like it does.
Oh, yeah. Here. Keep in mind, they didn't close those residential schools until, like, I don't think the last one closed until, like, the 90s. But yeah, and then, guess who's back? It's fucking Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman. And this time, they finally fucking did it. They're actually getting felony charges for conspiracy to intimidate voters with robocalls. Not to mention a litany of other shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they, were charged Thursday with, 4 felony counts each in Detroit, including conspiring to intimidate voters, violation of election law and using computer to commit crimes. I didn't realize how far apart they were in age. Wall is 22 and Berkman's 54.
Mm-hmm.
The calls falsely warned residents in majority black Detroit and urban areas, at least 4 other states, that voting by mail in the November 3rd election could subject people to arrest, debt collection, and forced vaccination. That's a fucking hell of a thing to say.
That's a non sequitur.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are not in custody yet. No date for their arraignment has been set. Let's see. But yeah. I assume they will be caught and brought in.
Yeah.
And they're not important enough to go to Club Fed.
Nope. So they're going straight to pound me in the ass prison.
Yeah, they're believed to have made 85,000 calls.
Mm-hmm.
With the robocaller.
That should mean a lot of sodomy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, through Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, and New York.
You want to know how you get to pound me up the bass prison? It's just a short boat ride up Shit Creek. I did that just for me. I found that funny. So yeah, that's our assholes of the week, but now we got our heroes of the week, and we got a couple. First, we got California Governor's Gavin Newsom. He passed a law that was prompted by the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash.
Yeah, this one involves making it a crime for first responders to take unauthorized photos of deceased people at the scene of an accident or crime.
Good.
Good.
Said that even has to be made a law.
Mm-hmm.
People are taking advantage of their positions, I guess. Yes, I guess 8 deputies are accused of taking or sharing graphic photos of the scene for that particular crash.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. He said the department has a policy against taking and sharing crime scene photos, but did not apply to accident scenes.
Mm.
And that will take effect January 1st, making a misdemeanor with fines up to $1,000 per offense. Take such photos for anything other than an official law enforcement purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, that's good.
Yeah, good. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this happened this week, too. House Representative Katie Porter. She is one of the good ones because she is known for her harsh questioning, especially against people who fucking deserve it. And she ended up doing that. She had a bunch of pharma CEOs showing up, and she basically took them to task for the price hikes for various cancer drugs. And showing how bullshit they are.
Yep. Yeah, she along with Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley were part of this oversight committee meeting hearing to talk to the CEOs of Teva, Celgene, and Bristol-Myers Squibb on the results of an 18-month investigation into the pricing of two drugs, Teva's multiple sclerosis drug, Copaxone, and Bristol-Myers Squibb's multiple myeloma drug, Revlimid. And she particularly tears into, let's see, which one was it? Mark Alice, served as Celgene's CEO until Bristol-Myers Squibb acquired the company in 2019. Showing that at 2005, it cost about $215 per dose and is now $763. It starts going over the prices he's compensated, his bonuses and such, some of which were only obtainable because they raised the price on people. Saying things like, did the drug start to work faster? Were there fewer side effects? How did you change the formula production of Revlimid to justify this price increase? To recap here, the drug didn't get any better. The cancer patients didn't get any better. You just got better at making money. You just refined your skills at price gouging.
Yep.
And Rashida Tlaib saying later, in my district, Mr. Schultz, we call this a side hustle. Your pharmaceutical company makes these so-called charitable donations, so you look like you give a shit about sick people. But in reality, these are just another scheme by your corporation to make money off of sick people.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a video of this whole thing happening. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. And finally, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. Some of you may know Chrissy Teigen, unfortunately, suffered a miscarriage. This week they actually went on Instagram and broke their silence. Actually talked about it rather candidly.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that you always hate to hear about, but you don't often hear about it enough. In the wake of this, you hear lots of stories of women and men who had gone through this sort of stuff and felt so isolated as a result because, you know, nobody in their families talks about it.
Yeah.
Or friend groups or anything like that. It's just that
unfortunate thing you kind of want to slip under the rug.
Yeah, especially if you haven't, like, even talked about it to family yet. Don't want to have to go through the hassle of, you know, what happened, all that kind of stuff. And, even when it's not necessarily your fault. The woman who's having the pregnancy, it happens a lot more than people realize.
Yeah.
Some people go through it multiple times, unfortunately, but...
Unfortunately, yes.
If you really want to see what kind of assholes are out there, you can find the ones that respond to her. Saying, like, you shouldn't be posting about this. Why'd you take a picture? You just did this for the clicks and all this kind of shit. It's like, no. They did it because it's something they felt like helped them grieve. To get the word out and show, like, this stuff happens. Even to people, celebrities like them.
All right.
Yeah. I saw, like, even pro-lifers were like, oh, so you killed the baby, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like,
it wasn't just a mass of cells, was it?
No.
It's like, no, this was like 7 months in.
Yeah.
Which would not be an abortion time frame.
Like, that's not how this works. But that never stopped them. They might not even know that. Because, unfortunately, something I've realized about a lot of those pro-lifers is they have no idea what a third trimester fetus actually looks like.
Well, it's because they just see the Photoshop shit that, you know, the propaganda that's out there on social media.
Yeah. And then when you actually try to show them what a third trimester fetus actually looks like, they don't believe you. They think you're lying. It's like, no, that... A third trimester looks like a fetus, literally looks like a vaguely human shaped garbanzo bean. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And of course, most of the shitty responses were dudes.
Yeah. Because, of course, it is. Yeah. All right, moving on from there, we're now starting the proper show proper, and we have to quickly get up the garage door to wheel out the COVID-19 dump truck, because we got a fresh load for you. And we're going to start it off with the news that everybody cares about. It was announced late last night, or early this morning, depending on whether or not you consider 1 a.m. to be either a late night or early morning.
I was up.
President Donald J. Trump and First Lady Melania Trump tested positive for COVID-19.
Fucking finally.
And then we found out
at this point.
Yeah. And then we found out they're actually in the hospital now.
Or he is.
Yeah, he's in Walter Reed.
Yeah, he had developed, quote, mild symptoms, which means he is not asymptomatic.
And he's in how many high-risk classes?
Well, let's see. He's in his 70s. He's in very bad shape. He's obese. He has a high-fat diet. He has a cholesterol issue that he has to take medication for. He's been showing signs of dementia. Yeah, he pretty much checks off all the boxes.
And they, like, the initial, like, batch of medicine he was getting was included one that was, like, experimental.
Yeah.
One they don't give, I guess, until you get in desperate enough condition.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he has to get airlifted out to the hospital.
Yep.
Just not the greatest look.
Yeah, and you knew he wasn't doing well because he walked out, you know, past the cameras, giving a thumbs up, wearing a mask, and he said nothing. Because normally when there are cameras, he can't help but himself but to try and make a scene or something. But nope, he just went straight to the car to head to the hospital or plane or wherever it was that was whatever it was that he was going in. But yeah,
Of course, this is days after he mocked Biden for wearing masks all the time.
Yeah.
Which it turned out it worked.
Mm-hmm.
The mask worked. Biden tested negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both him and Kamala Harris.
And their spouses.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to remind everybody that Boris Johnson, current Prime Minister of the UK, is younger than Donald Trump by about 20 or so years. He's also in much better shape than he is. And yet when he caught it, it almost fucking killed him.
Oh yeah, he was not having a good time.
No. And according to him, he still suffers from breathing issues because of it. Because that's kind of what COVID does to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't just wreck your body. It basically leaves a giant pile of shit in you as it leaves. So, yeah, so I'm going to be honest here. I'm not necessarily the type of person who cheers on a horrifyingly painful disease to kill someone, but I am strongly suggesting it.
I think we can make an exception in Trump's case.
Like, you know, the part of me that's decent and empathetic and just wants good for everyone else in the world wants to say that I hope he gets okay, that he'll be able to survive this so that then he can then go to trial after his presidency and rot in jail.
Yeah. I actually want him to stay alive so he can see his kingdom crumble.
Yes. I want to see his legacy be dashed before his eyes. I want
whatever
to see
happens
him
after weak, that,
orange,
really
orange tears as everything he has created crumbles to dust. But then there's also this really sick part of me that says, "Your suffering pleases me."
Yeah. Like, yeah. I save my humanity for those who are possessed of it.
Yeah. So, that happened.
So
and it ain't just
Trump
the Trumps that have it. Yeah, and it's not just the Trumps who have it either. Hope Hicks also tested positive. It's possible that she's the one who gave it to him.
Yeah, because there's the policy in the White House of not requiring masks, which are still continuing in light of all this. It makes zero sense. When the most important person in the building is no longer there for the time being because of it.
Yes.
Had to get airlifted out.
Fuck around and find out.
Yeah. Now, of course, the question is, if it happens and Trump dies, does that basically mean that Pence will end up being the new nominee, or is there even time now? Like, could they legally actually do that, or would this basically mean that Biden wins the election by default?
Well, I would think that
I think it would be.
I think that Pence would default to the ballot as the incumbent.
Yeah, I guess he would.
Yeah, because they can't. He didn't really have any challengers.
Yeah.
There isn't like a second place.
They didn't have the balls to primary Trump.
Yeah, because that's what ends up happening. It's going to be the shortest presidency in American history.
Yep.
You know, unless he actually gets elected. But
he is not electable in a general by any stretch of the imagination. We said the same thing about Trump, but.
Well, the difference between him and Pence is that Pence is actually somewhat competent and level-headed. And just vanilla enough that the things that make regular conservatives be off-putted by Trump wouldn't necessarily be off-putted by
Mike
Pence.
That's true. But all the Biden campaign would have to do is say, unless you fit into this very small defined box, like Mike Pence would not be your president, and he's not interested in being your president.
Yeah. Also, one of the most right-wing senators in the country, Senator Mike Lee, he also tested positive. It's possible that he may have exposed the he may have exposed the virus to Supreme Court nominee Judge Barrett.
And I was worried that I was not going to be able to do the show tonight because I would have had to go to the emergency room with a priapism.
Yeah. They say that, you know, if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, you immediately need to go see your doctor. And that probably would have done it.
Yeah, it cut it close.
Yeah. Now, have we found out if the Pences have tested yet or not?
I don't think
they were negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were negative. Okay. Well, I mean, that kind of makes a sense because a lot of times they try to keep the president and vice president in separate locations as a security measure.
Yeah.
You know, in case something happens to one of them.
Like the pan.
Yeah. It got Joe. And then, best of all, both Joe and Jill Biden, and they don't put on here, but also Kamala Harris, have all tested negative. So they're fine. See, that's what happens when you actually wear a mask and practice social distancing.
Now, what I love is how the right wing is flipping out like they're saying that they're waxing conspiratorial about how maybe they put something in Trump's microphone at the debate and he caught it.
I think it was Alex Jones suggested that they were poisoning his Diet Coke.
My God.
Yeah, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
I did see the woman that tried to primary Nancy Pelosi was basically like, seems awfully convenient that the Republicans are the ones getting testing positive and none of the Democrats are.
Yeah, that's
and
because
I actually directly replied to that saying that, yeah, it's almost like you'd think there was a common thread between staying healthy and respect for science.
Yeah. You know what this all reminds me of? When you guys were like in grade school, were you ever assigned to read Edgar Allan Poe's The Mask of the Red Death?
Yeah.
Yeah, this sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Because this is basically what the Mask of the Red Death is. It's a bunch of rich assholes trying to pretend that nothing is wrong, putting on like a huge fucking party, and then somehow the Red Death still manages to come in and kill them all. Well, here you go.
Yep.
This is literally the Mask of the Red Death. Fuck, if they ever make a movie version of the Mask of the Red Death, they've already got a nice angle to go with it. But But in spite of all of this, they're still not going to require a mask at the White House because, of course.
Well, we can treat it like a cleansing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The White House is being cleansed.
Yeah. Yeah. From my home state, Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler, who is probably going to do very bad in the election next month, she basically got the worst take by claiming that China was responsible for this.
Yeah, same.
Directly responsible. That was an amazing stretch that was being made there.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to point out that the scientists have said that after research, it's more than likely that the coronavirus actually originates in Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that it really managed to take off and spread in China because, you know, it's the most densely populated country in the world.
Yeah, and her tweet's just wild. It said, remember, China gave this virus to our president at Real Donald Trump and First Lady at FLOTUS. We must hold them accountable. It's like, accountable for what? He's a dumbass.
Yeah.
That doesn't require masks to be around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw somebody made a good tweet. It's it must suck to be the Trump sons and have medical proof of how many people your father has closer contact to than you.
Nice. Oh, good. Yes. But it also came to light that apparently the Trump administration siphoned off about $300 million from the Center for Disease Control so they could go on an advertising blitz. Kind of regretting that now, aren't we?
Yeah, you might have seen the Dennis Quaid ad.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of wild. This is part of that whole thing. Having these like recorded interviews with celebrities and the Health and Human Services Department, also are pursuing people like Dr. Oz and Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. Waste of money.
And then they all backed out at the later on. So, yeah. And, let's see. Oh, some non-Trump related COVID news. The National Football League is postponing the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game after several positive tests.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to play on Sunday. Tennessee had, I think, 9 people test positive, 4 players, 5 team personnel.
Oh, my God.
Tested positive, and then I think I've had a couple since then.
Mm-hmm.
2 additional, including another player and personnel members, so they decided just to postpone the game entirely to later this year. I don't know when they're going to actually do that. Probably had to be
bye week
when one of the teams has a bye week if they can fit it in there and rearrange some stuff. It's doesn't seem like any of the big name players, but still more than like 5 each is not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 10% of their roster.
Yep. Mm. And then Amazon basically had to admit this week that nearly 20,000 of its workforce got COVID-19 or had symptoms.
Yeah, because not everybody got tests.
Nope.
So those ones that were confirmed or presumed to be positive based on symptoms they had. Which I think Bezos was particularly fighting to deny benefits to some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he gained like $90 billion during the whole coronavirus thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we're going to have to take a close look at once this is all over.
Yeah, yep. Can't possibly afford to give these people full benefits to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not go into deep debt because they got sick through the recklessness of the way Amazon had this all set up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're going through hiring sprees at this point, so Prime Day is coming up.
Yep. God damn it. Yeah, yeah. All right, well. Yeah, so we're going to back up the dump truck back into the garage.
Something else about the Mike Lee test that I think might have gotten glossed over there. he was tested after he had a face-to-face meeting with Judge Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think she would be too much of an issue because she already had it this summer.
Yeah, apparently she already caught it earlier this summer.
Well, I was about to say I like where this is going, but if she's not going to be quarantined, then fuck.
Well, they're going to go through herd mentality, just get all the Republicans testing positive, and then they're free and clear after that.
The ones that live.
A couple will die, but that's...
they seem to be okay with that, so...
Survival is strongest.
Wonderful.
Maybe we'll take down Ted Cruz with them. Save us that whole bit of trouble.
Oh god, can we?
It's just, can the gods possibly be more indulgent for us?
Oh yeah, just in case you're wondering, there is a tweet from Trump.
Always.
6 years old exactly on the anniversary, October 2nd, 2014.
As is his way.
The Ebola patient who came into our country knew exactly what he was doing. Came into contact with over 100 people. Here we go. I told you so. Now, Hope Hicks is that COVID patient.
We will continue where we left off. We had finished the COVID-19 dump truck. We're going to put that back in the garage and close the door. Now we're going to move on to the 2020 U.S. election watch, because guess what else happened this week? That is just so, so awesome.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
All right. After almost 4 years of people basically on their hands and knees begging Donald Trump to release his tax returns, and begging, trying to bribe, try to convince, but he said, no, no, I'm under audit. I'm always under audit. I can't do that. Somebody finally linked the past 15 years of his tax returns to the New York Times.
And what did they find?
They found that he's broke as shit.
Yeah. In his first 2 years in office, he only paid $750 in federal income taxes.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is lower than
the last 15 years. In fact, in the last 15 years, that's literally the only taxes he's paid.
Like 10 of his past 15 years, he paid no federal income taxes.
Mm-hmm. None at all. And you're wondering, okay, how did he do that? Well, basically, he would file an extension, and then he would pay the estimated amount, and then later he would then file a return showing that he had lost a lot more money than he actually had, and he would get his entire payment refunded. It's basically textbook tax fraud.
Yeah.
But apparently he had gotten so broke that he was doing commercials for, like, fucking Burger King and...
Well, I remember when he was doing Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, and he was going to be on a soap opera that never aired. In fact, you know that that infamous clip of him with Billy Bush talking about grabbing him by the pussy? Yeah, it was on the way to filming that particular soap opera that never aired.
So much winning.
Yeah. Oh, but it gets better because his kids are also wrapped up in this shit, too. Especially Ivanka.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Trump brought off $26 million in unexplained consulting fees between 2010 and 2018, with almost $750,000 apparently going to his daughter, Ivanka, in one disclosure. Which involved, receiving payments from a consulting company that she owned, totaling $747,622. Exactly matched consulting fees claimed as tax deductions by the Trump Organization for hotel projects in Vancouver and Hawaii, same ones that Trump had put down for his own consulting fees. So she potentially double-dipped into serving as both project manager and official official capacity as senior staffer for her father's company and as a consultant to those same projects. In those deals, Ivanka Trump's apparent categorization as a consultant allowed her father to write off $750,000. The IRS allows consulting fees written off as business expenses. But yeah, they contacted the Trump Organization's lawyer, offer no comment or explanation for the setup to the Times.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't explain it.
Yeah. May also just
there is no explaining it. It is literally textbook tax malfeasance. There is no way to explain that away.
And also,
the worst part is that it's very obvious tax malfeasance. Like, it wasn't even clever.
Yeah. It also appears that that might just be the tip of the iceberg. $26 million that Trump wrote off as consulting fees between 2010 and 2018, none is allocated to any specific person or entity.
Mm-hmm.
The Times figured out that $747,000 payments by matching the number from the tax return Trump had to the same sum reported by Ivanka Trump on her financial disclosure form. Yep. She started at the White House in 2017. So we don't know who received the other $25 million that Trump wrote off during that time. The Times reports that Trump wrote off roughly 20% of all income he made on projects, or that time to consulting fees. Given that Ivanka Trump part of it, it's not terribly far-fetched to wonder whether all those consulting fees went through a similar process of, you know, one of the other Trump kids or some other Trump organization person. That's also got benefits out of that. Mm-hmm. Seems like it'd be nice when they are no longer in office.
Yeah, it also revealed something else, which is that he's apparently he's got $100 million in debt. And that debt is coming to at the end of this year. And he owes money to some very shady figures.
Yeah, $421 million in loans and debts due within 4 years.
Yep.
Most of which comes from the Doral Golf Resort in Florida, Trump's Washington Hotel. That right there is about $285 million. They're not doing too well.
Nope.
And how many of these people wear Armani suits and probably carry axes on them?
I'd say about all of them.
This is not going to end well for him in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
No, but then he dies and his kids get to deal with the problem.
Oh, that'll be fun. You'll be able to see the Trump household devour each other. Yeah.
Hey, just give it all to Eric.
Actually, you know what? Give it all to Barron. And then give him to, like, the one Trump daughter who isn't terrible.
I forgot her name.
You know, yeah, there's one that's reasonably less worse than the other ones.
I don't know.
No, Mary's cool.
Yeah. But,
Mary's the niece.
Mary is the niece, yeah.
She's the one that's endorsed Biden.
Yeah. Speaking of who, by the way, in an answer to this coming out, guess who also released their tax returns? Both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and their spouses.
Squeaky
they didn't
clean,
have
huh?
to do that last part, by the way, but they did anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, Biden's tax returns show that he and his wife earned about $944,000 in taxable wages last year, paid about $300,000. 31.6%. Harris and her husband earned about $3 million in taxable income, paid about $1.2 million in total taxes, which is about 39%. Standard stuff for the most part.
Yeah. Well.
So it happens when you got people that don't really have any issues in their tax returns.
Yeah.
That they're trying to hide.
Yeah. And news coming out because of that absolute god-awful shit show of debate that happened Tuesday. Or was it Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Who cares at this point?
Yeah, honestly, who cares what day it was? All we know is that it was an absolute train wreck in a dumpster fire that, you know, somebody managed to push off a cliff. And so the Commission on Presidential Debates said, yeah, we fucked up on this one, so we're going to add some tools to maintain order for the next debate.
Yeah, and so, Trump suggested Biden was trying to get out of the next two debates, which now is no longer an issue.
Because
we may not even have them all if Trump is incapacitated for long enough.
Yeah. Do you get the feeling that we finally reached the turning point now?
Hopefully.
That now it's like finally the bottom finally fell out.
Hopefully.
And that now he's at a point where he can't possibly recover. Because let's be honest, we've had a couple false starts over the last 4 years.
I think the last 4 years have all been one ongoing false start.
Yeah. And then finally, as we get closer to the end of his term, literally within under like 5 weeks of the election, suddenly this all happens in 1 week.
Best October surprise ever.
And it's barely even October. But yeah. Oh yeah, this also happened. So his former campaign manager, Brad Parscale. Yeah, this also happened. He had a mental breakdown and apparently had a bunch of guns. His wife called the authorities, told her that apparently he had been hitting her, although she later withdrew those claims, even though she had like a bunch of old bruises on her arms. And apparently he was suicidal. And there's video of him getting tackled by a SWAT team and hauled off to
5150.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, which, the Trump campaign didn't really take to this too well.
Nope.
As they do with any sort of mental health issue that appears in front of them.
Yeah, they're apparently, according to insiders, they're afraid that Brad Parscale might start talking.
Yeah.
It's also possible that the reason this happened is because he basically stole millions of fucking dollars from the campaign, you know, in order to get his big house and his yacht and his sports cars and all that shit.
Yeah, well, that'd be like just like the dude he's working for.
Yeah, that's just being an apt pupil.
Yeah.
Trump would have probably been disappointed if he hadn't done it.
Yeah. So this was actually like, this happened like, I think the same day that his tax returns leaked.
Oh man.
Or at least the morning after. Cause it's like all this stuff just lines up perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like he never takes just one L at a time. It's always a parade.
Yeah. And other, election shenanigans, a bunch of voters in Brooklyn, of course, in New York, received a bunch of absentee ballot envelopes with wrong names and addresses.
Yeah. There are people tweeting that they got envelopes for them and their spouse and opened it up and realized it was for their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And
so they get to play musical ballots?
Kind of. But, the Board of Elections in Brooklyn said they will be mailing out new ballots to about 100,000 Brooklyn voters, saying that this was an issue with the ballot printing, all that kind of stuff. From the company that was doing that, and saying they're going to mail out new ones, but if you manage to locate your correct one, you can still fill that one out. Just whole weird situations. Like, yeah, this is not a great look.
No.
For this whole system. Hopefully, it's just confined to these kind of smallish issues
and get corrected accordingly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw if you remember during the debate, he was talking about somebody throwing ballots into a river.
Yeah,
there were no ballots in that. It was just mail.
Yeah.
So it's still a federal offense. It's just not election fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just another lie on his whole plate of lies.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And finally, we got news that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has endorsed Joe Biden for president and Kamala Harris for vice president.
Yeah.
And that's his first ever endorsement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he starts the video talking about how he's an independent, never has endorsed, but felt compelled to do so because of this. You can watch the video with him talking to Joe and Kamala. It's a pretty good video.
Yeah. So, that's the 2020 U.S. election watch for this week. Join us next week. We'll have some more shenanigans. Almost definitely. the last couple of days are any indication. Yeah. Oh, man, the next week is going to be insane.
Buckle up.
Anyway, even though that's the end of the election watch, the stupidity doesn't stop there. The White House have publicly described Judge Amy Barrett as a, quote, Rhodes Scholar because she went to Rhodes College. Yeah, that's not what a Rhodes Scholar is. That's not how it works.
Wait, you saying they lied?
Oh, they definitely lied.
Like a rug.
Yeah,
or they're just that stupid.
Yeah, the Rhodes Scholarship Program is tied to Oxford University.
Yep.
For students that are from outside the country, I believe.
Yep.
And she just got a bachelor's degree from a small college in Tennessee.
Which, for the record, by itself is not a bad thing, mind you.
No, but a Rhodes Scholar is a
very specific thing.
Is a very big achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a private liberal arts school in Tennessee.
Yeah.
From a person that's increasingly, as people dig into her background, find out she has very little experience in what she's doing.
Yep.
And yeah, of course, you could say this is a minor flub on their part, but shortly after this whole thing happened, Fox News started pushing that part of the narrative.
Of course. So,
yeah. To make her resume seem better than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I expect nothing, and I'm still disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then. Next up, we got news from, let's see, this is from, yep, CNET. Somebody's put out this weird-looking, like, metal scorpion chair that's made both for gaming and is also a home workstation.
Yeah, it's a wild-looking thing. Like a recliner, but has this, like, big tail going out of the back of it.
No, it's literally designed to look like a scorpion.
Yeah, but it's...
Like, you can see from the design, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
It's even got the legs.
Yeah, and it has like a whole wild thing where it can kind of rock a little bit back and forth based on whether you want to lie down or sit up with like a 3-monitor situation there, which you can have like one ultra wide 49-inch monitor or 3 curved monitors that are 27 inches each.
Mm-hmm.
It's pre-built HDMI DP cables to connect to monitors. Reclines up to 170 degrees, which is weird, and you can see videos of it kind of in action, which, if you actually want to get this thing, I guess it's on Alibaba for about $1,900.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a wild looking chair.
Mm-hmm.
Seems kind of cool to have, but it's also going to look so out of
crippling expense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, out of touch for like what the rest of the room could be.
Mm-hmm. Big price, little chair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
This is totally for people with more dollars than cents.
Yeah.
I guess also a white version of this chair.
Probably.
But if you order, okay, it's actually $2,000. But if you order more than 10 of them, 10 or more, you can get it down to $1,900 each.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How generous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It weighs about 310 pounds.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, moving on from there, we now know who's going to be playing the title role of Ms. Marvel for the Disney Plus series. It's Iman Vellani.
Yep.
And it's like, looking at her, it's like, yep, that's Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe she is Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's... They're going to start off as a Disney Plus series with her, and then she's going to eventually make her way into the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is big time coming for this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more popular characters in the Marvel comics these days.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason. So, yeah, no real news about when any of this stuff is going to happen because it's still in flux. They're still trying to figure out to get... When to get the movies out that they have in the can.
Mm-hmm.
And start this next phase of the MCU.
Yep. Yeah. And let's see. Next up, we now know from Netflix that they are developing a Conan the Barbarian series. And I can basically tell you right now, it will be filled with lots of blood and lots of fucking. Because that's basically what Conan the Barbarian is.
Brand accuracy.
Yeah.
Lots of blood, lots of fucking, and basically all in the desert. That's Conan the Barbarian to a T.
A lot easier to socially distance there.
Yep. And, let's see. Of course they have that fucking picture of Arnold.
Yeah, he's kind of the classic look for that.
Yeah, because that's what everyone remembers. That's like the movie that basically wasn't... I know that wasn't like his first movie role, but that was the first, like,
it was one of his first big ones, yeah.
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 I mean, he you know, he then got even bigger with The Terminator, but there was also a couple other really dumb movies that he made that were also a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, they tried to do a reboot with Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be perfect to do now, but probably not after those.
Yeah. Alright. Next up, we now know that Cobra Kai is being renewed for a fourth season on Netflix. Nice.
Yep. Yeah, they're supposedly going to be starting to work on
Netflix. Really?
Yeah, they moved the whole series over to Netflix. Oh, wow. It's been one of the biggest series over the past few months.
I've just assumed it's been on YouTube the whole time.
No, okay. YouTube TV is kind of done for the most part.
Okay.
In fact, they're kind of changing it to Google TV now.
Mm-hmm.
For and whatever reason.
Packaging it?
Yeah, packaging like their video stuff. But yeah, season 3 will be premiering on January 8th, 2021. So you got something to look forward to early on. And yeah, season 4 is confirmed for that. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting. Because those first two seasons are really quite good. For people that like the original. Don't look at this trailer here, teaser trailer, if you don't want any spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't started anything yet.
Yeah.
Or the image here, they really fucked up here. assuming this article is for everybody that's watched season 2.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like two big things that happen in season 2, and they're mm-hmm. both right there.
Yep.
I'll go watch,
show,
go watch Cobra Kai first.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we know that the latest James Bond movie, No Time to Die, is being pushed to next year for its release.
Yeah, April 2nd, 2021 is their date now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of films realizing with the release of Tenet, like, there's no money in this right now.
Nope.
I think Tenet's done like 40 million in the US, but it's done like 200 some million around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Show you like how much more fruitful the market is outside of the country than mm-hmm. it is here. Yeah, 285 million worldwide. I think this last month it did like 2 million sales.
Mm-hmm. All right. And let's see. Finally, we got a trailer for The Witches.
Yeah, which is a Roald Dahl adaptation.
Yep.
I hadn't heard of it before, but I guess there was a movie back in...
Well, Roald Dahl wrote a lot of books, so...
Yeah, but I guess there was a movie adaptation of this previously that people talking about mm-hmm. being like nightmare fuel for kids.
Yep. And you can just immediately see from the Glasgow smile that the one lady has from the thumbnail there that, this probably will be similarly be just as such.
Yeah, this one seems a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, has Robert Zemeckis as the director. It's going to be an HBO Max exclusive
mm-hmm.
For October 22nd, so just in time for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Features Anne Hathaway and Octavia Spencer, as well as Stanley Tucci and Kristen Chenoweth. And Chris Rock doing mm-hmm. Some voiceover there. As I guess like the adult version of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about these witches turning kids into mice in this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's basically just a doll taking a sort of common childhood fear and just exploiting the ever-loving hell out of it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a common trend in his books, but... Yeah, so, yeah, with that, I do believe we've got ourselves a show, folks.
Yeah.
So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question or comment, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you here in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcast, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We will eventually. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. It's been one hell of a week. It's really been one hell of a day, really.
Yeah.
And so, for Patrick Mifflin and Chris Sologi, as I would like to say to you, good night, sleep tight, and as we will continue reminding you until the day comes in the next few weeks, remember to vote in November.